I speak to you in the name of our one God who unites us all in one God in three persons. Amen. So when I was a child, I received a pair of binoculars for Christmas from my aunt and uncle. I was 10 years old, and to be clear, binoculars were not on my Christmas list. I wanted a jump rope, a new badminton racket, a couple of Nancy Drew books, but no binoculars. Boring. Boring, I thought. When my mother and I went out on our back patio for her to show me how they worked, I wasn't any more interested. She focused them on a tree at the back of our yard. She handed me the binoculars and told me to look at it. She said, "It's really cool. You can see the bark on the tree as if you were standing right there." I said, "Great." I took the binoculars that were focused on the tree and I brought them up real close to look at a flower in a pot sitting much closer to me on our patio. And of course, that was all blurry because I hadn't quite gotten the hang of this focusing thing. I then did what children often do with binoculars. I looked at them and I said, well, I could look through this side or I could look through this other side. So I held up the wrong side of the binoculars, the large circles, to my eyes, and wow, that was fun because everything got really little. My dog looked like an ant, the tree looked like a sprig of parsley, and I began to giggle because it was a little bit silly. My mother tried to get me to turn the binoculars around. No, that's the wrong way. You've got to turn them around the right way. But as far as I was concerned, there was more than one way to look through these binoculars. Right way, wrong way, more than one way. Nicodemus comes to Jesus to visit him at night, convinced he knows the right way to think about Jesus, to understand who he is. After all, Nicodemus is a leader of the Pharisees. They're called Sanhedrin. He approaches Jesus, refers to him as rabbi, and says, "We know that you are a teacher. We know." That's a sign to be wary. Nicodemus wants to see Jesus as a fellow rabbi, nothing else. He wants to focus on what he and the other Pharisees know about Jesus, that he does these signs, miracles, like turning water into wine at Cana and healings during the prior Passover festival. Even though Nicodemus comes at night, which was the traditional time of study of the Torah and a time of questions and curiosity, it doesn't really seem that Nicodemus is going to be open to any new answers. He's got one way, this one way of looking at God and the world, and so he's kind of pushing Jesus away, almost willfully being confused. This Nick at night isn't the Nicodemus we want to be. Jesus wants to transform Nicodemus's way of thinking about God. He wants to get Nicodemus to reject the traditional way of thinking about God, the traditional way of using the pair of binoculars, if you will, to turn them around, look at them through a new way, to get a new perspective on things. And the way that this text does that is by using three different word plays. Word plays are like binoculars. You can understand the word one way or another. You can look through the binoculars one way or the other. So we have three word plays which really try to push Nicodemus and us to broaden our view on Jesus, God, and yes, the Holy Spirit. So first, Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. The Greek phrase that we translate as born from above has another meaning, which can also be translated as born again, which some of you may be familiar with, depending upon your prior church experience. You might know this as shorthand for a personal conversion experience. Nicodemus latches on to the literal meaning of this Greek word, thinking it means born again. That's the only one he's hearing. And he's confused because it's not physically possible to be born again. He can't be young again, born into the womb again. This is human thinking. He's stuck in that mode of thinking, literal thinking. But that's not where Jesus is. Jesus is trying to get him to think spiritually. He's speaking spiritually about heavenly things, as he gets to later in this text, because to be born from above is about transformation that comes from God, from God's heavenly kingdom, from on high, which is where these Israelites, these Jews knew, thought, understood where God lived, on high, God's heavenly kingdom. And the transformation must come from on high, descended to Nicodemus and you and me. This is where we have our second word play, which tries to help Nicodemus and us understand what this means. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the source of this transformation of rebirth is the Spirit, God's Spirit. The word for spirit in Greek is also the word for wind. Jesus says in this text that the wind blows where it chooses. And we certainly know that experience ourselves. Whether we're on the golf course, the tennis courts, at the lake, or in our backyards, the wind seems to come from one direction, and then it comes from another direction. Just as you think you're sailing off in one direction, you end up having to tack into the wind a different way. That's just the way the wind operates. But thinking about wind only is the human way to think about this. And Jesus, again, is speaking spiritually and is saying that God's Spirit comes from on high and is out and about in our midst. God's Spirit is looking for us for these moments of transformation. And to be born from above is to let the Spirit come in our midst, in and around us, pushing us into relationship with Jesus. It's like the wind that can't be controlled by human means. The Spirit can't be controlled by human means either, not by our rules or our norms or even our ideas about God or our forms of worship. The idea that we could compartmentalize God is like trying to trap the wind. It's an idea born of the flesh and is therefore limited. But those are the terms that Nicodemus is thinking in, and sometimes we fall into that trap ourselves. And Jesus wants to transform this way of thinking. So we get to our third word play. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Son of Man, which is Jesus' way of referring to himself in this gospel, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Greek word for lift up also means exalt. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross of crucifixion to die for us, he was ultimately exalted as the one who was resurrected, as the Messiah who saved us from the power of sin and death, saved us through God's love. And in saving us, Jesus also heals us collectively. This is where the analogy to Moses and the serpent, which sounds totally out of place and a little strange, actually makes a lot of sense and does some good work here. When Moses raised up the serpent on a stick, the Israelites who were suffering from snake bites were all healed. They were healed collectively as the snake was raised up and exalted for them to gaze upon. And by bringing this analogy, this prior experience of the Israelites into today's gospel, the author of the Gospel of John is making the cross of crucifixion a healing cross that to gaze upon will indeed lead to our collective healing. The John's community, the ones for whom he was writing, were ostracized Jesus followers, and they needed to hear this message of collective healing that comes from on high, and we need to hear it as well. So to be born from above is to be drawn by the Spirit, to lift our eyes up, to gaze upon the cross where Jesus was crucified and exalted, and to be healed together through God's love for the whole world. Three word plays where there are two different meanings, and we can latch on to one or both, like a pair of binoculars that you look through the side that maximizes or minimizes, seeing the world in a new way. But we have to let ourselves go to this place where we can be transformed, where we can think about being born from above through the Spirit, through God's love in Jesus Christ, through through the exaltation of Jesus on the cross. Because Nicodemus comes to this awareness, begins to come to this awareness in this text, but it doesn't fully develop until later. Because he does actually say, how can these things be? Which is a great question. He's letting himself be surprised and, yes, confused. But he's admitting that he doesn't have all the answers, and that's the beginning of his transformation. So that by the end of this gospel, Nicodemus is the one who's defending Jesus to his fellow Pharisees. He's the one bringing spices to anoint our Savior's body. That's the Nick we want to be. But how? How to be reborn? How to let the Spirit blow? How to believe in God's love? How to exalt Jesus in our lives? Great questions, all of them. But I'm going to stop you there, because isn't that what Nicodemus would have done himself? Asked a lot of questions, looking for lots of answers, some of which he wasn't really ready to hear. Maybe what we need right now for our rebirth from above is to think less, analyze less, struggle with the words a bit less. Maybe what we need is to listen for God's love a little more in those who love us. Maybe what we need to do is feel the wind, God's Spirit, on our faces this summer. Maybe what we need to do is raise our eyes to the cross and just look. Maybe what we need to understand the Trinity is not to think about it, but to experience it. Our one God in three persons, three different ways of experiencing God. And then, in the listening and the feeling and the looking and the experiencing, we might find ourselves transformed from above. We might find that transformation that God's love in Jesus offers us over and over again. Now, I realize telling you to think less is antithetical to what I try to do most Sundays as your preacher or in adult education. But thinking without space for listening, without space for the Spirit to move among you, thinking without space for being surprised, for hearing two messages in the same word, this kind of thinking isn't about Jesus. It becomes about you. It becomes about you. And we want to stay focused on our one God in three persons. And sometimes the best way to do that is to think less and feel and experience more. So here's the thing about binoculars. No matter how you look through them, the way that magnifies or minimizes the right way or the wrong way, they are transformative. You aren't seeing the world and experiencing the world in the same way anymore, but in a new way. You can let yourself be surprised. You can stop thinking for a moment and wonder and feel how cool it is truly to see the bark on the tree, or how amazing it is that your dog looks like a speck far away, even when standing right next to you. So the summer lies before you. Grab your binoculars and see the world and God in a new way. Amen.